Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around.
All right, Bill, I'm pretty excited about this next segment, and some of our listeners are too. They have already called in 312-981-7200. No one's waiting in line for an iPhone 6. They're waiting in line to talk to our next guest, the creator of Chicago's Extinct Businesses Facebook page. We are going to go back in time and have a little nostalgic moment with Pete Castanis. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
How many times did I...
Pete. Right?
A few.
Asked you like five times, how do I say this? Castanis.
Very good.
All right. I'm looking at this article on DNA Info Chicago, and right away it comes out Goldblatts, Weebolts. These are all these businesses.
We all grew up with them.
Yeah.
But they're gone, and we're not happy about it, Pete.
No, we're not.
So how are we going to get them back? Is that what you're here for?
Well, I could maybe fix put up a picket sign just marching down.
But... All right. But it gets sad because these businesses are part of our childhood. They're part of our memories. And then all of a sudden one day, and I understand it's the march of time, things get better, things get improved, but we want those things to exist.
Yes. There was a certain elegance back then, you know, where, you know, people come up to you and help you, and the products were quality. They were wonderful, like Marshall Fields, of course.
I still miss Fields. And you know, I go a lot to a lot of antique stores and everything, and they have Marshall Fields shopping bags on sale for like $10. I saved a bunch of them. I should start selling them on eBay.
They are on eBay. I see them all the time.
And tins, the Marshall Fields tins.
So nice. So when, like, let's use that one as a perfect example. When a big company came in, Macy's, didn't they do a little bit of research and say to themselves, this is part of the fabric of Chicago. We really should keep it Marshall Fields. Why would it change over to Macy's?
I don't know. I really don't
know. They said at the time it was because they wanted to buy national advertising and they couldn't just make it specific. You know, they had to buy the whole country, but they could have found a way.
Of course they could have, you know. I mean, Frango Mitz is still there, but it's...
It's different.
It's different.
They taste different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not happy, Pete. Pete Castanis is here. He is the owner and proprietor of Chicago's Extinct Businesses Facebook page. We'll reminisce and talk about some of those early days. If you're on the phone, stay there. We'll get to you in a little bit. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get that done.
Come on, baby, don't you want to go?
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, and our guest is bringing us back in time to talk about the forgotten nuggets of Chicago's past. He's a Bogan High School graduate, Peter Castanis. And all right, Pete, I got to tell you right now, you started... We liked this Extinct Businesses Facebook page. I'm looking here. You have over 20 pages of... memories.
Yes.
It started with Cruisin' Music, Cruisin' with a K,
right.
K-R-O-O-Z-I-N.
Oh, the music shop, right?
Yeah, I remember, didn't they advertise on the Loop radio and everything, Cruisin' Music?
I believe they did,
So this is how it all started? What, did you go buy 45s and albums there all the time?
I didn't buy many, but there were a lot of kids that did buy them. And, you know, when Led Zeppelin was big back then, and The Who, and... or Styx, you know. When Styx was big, it was very popular.
So you started this with Cruisin' Music, and what, you just started a Facebook page?
Yes.
Because this was, you wanted people to share your memories, right?
Right, yeah. I posted photos of album covers where they had, where WLS had the...
The countdown.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
WDAI had them.
Right.
What's another one?
Boy, I can't believe WDAI's name has not been said in a long time. That was a very popular station.
It was a rock station. Then it turned into disco.
Right.
Where was Captain Whammo?
Captain Whammo was a WMET.
The Mighty Met. That's right.
A lot of kids listened to that station.
I loved him.
They loved with the T-shirts and the bumper stickers.
Whose phone number was this? Hudson 32700.
That was Bushell.
They would steam to clean your carpet, right? I love that. That little jingle. I was a kid, and I'd say to my mom, we should have them to the house. And she'd go, you need to go to bed, because I would stay up late watching these shows.
Oh, yeah. They put them on commercials on Channel 9.
Right.
The
late
movie,
at night. Yeah.
Or the Sunday movie.
Very, very nice. What gets the most response of most of these that you've written about? What are people most kind of nostalgic for?
well, like the Extinct Business Page. They like to, like their neighborhood grocery stores.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Hilo, National Foods. The Kroger was here, but
I remember Kroger.
Was Kroger A&P. Here?
A&P.
A&P.
I grew up in Brookfield, so there was A&P. A&P,
yeah.
Of course, the Jewels.
Yeah, well, Jewel and Dominick's were the two giants here. But yes. Then for a while, there was like Raggedy Ann and Andy had their own grocery store mm-hmm. chain here for a little bit.
I remember their advertisements that would come in the Sunday paper because I, at that point, liked Raggedy Ann.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why did we like Raggedy Ann and Andy? They were really stupid dolls when you think about it. They just had yarn for hair.
You're going to be exported just for saying that. You can't say that
I
in
had
America.
One. I didn't have Andy. Who cared about Andy? All right, so we have people who want to talk, and then we got to get to news. So are you in a hurry? Can you stick around? We'll talk about this after news as well.
No, well, I'll stick around.
You're good, Pete.
How about Tom is on the line. Tom, reminisce with us.
Sure. Now, this isn't about a department store or a huge corporation. This is a place my grandfather and grandmother took me when I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, and it was called Snackville Junction, I believe. Mm. And it was a restaurant, and you'd go in there and order your food, and then a little train would come out with your food on it.
Have we all been there in the studio? Because I took my kids there.
Wasn't it by Ford City?
Evergreen Park-ish?
Evergreen Park.
Oh, that's
where Evergreen Park area. Now, is that still around?
No, it closed it.
When did they close? Because I went there. I have a 15-year-old who I probably went 7 years ago.
Maybe a year ago.
Oh.
Maybe. I could be wrong, but around recently.
But food tastes better when it's delivered on a small train. Yeah. Why wouldn't they keep that alive? I don't get it.
Oh, it's fun to watch, you know.
Didn't Wolfgang Puck try that for a little while and it just failed on him?
Sent his on a hockey puck just went too fast so the plates would slide off.
Right.
It didn't work as well.
No. Or a silver platter.
But that was a good place, that Snackville Junction, Tom.
Yeah, it was. It's just good old memories. Now, as far as old stores, you were talking about were you talking about Magicist?
Yeah, for a little while. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember the big sign on the Dan Ryan? It was like 79th Street. There was a huge set of lips all lit up in neon, and it was just so much fun to look at.
There was one on the Eisenhower as well. There were a couple of them.
On the Kennedy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
totally remember that. See how fun it is to reminisce, Tom?
Oh, God, I'm glad I have a memory. Well, I didn't play football, so I still have some memory left.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
And everybody had an uncle that when you drive past a Magicist sign, they'd go, oh, look, Mick Jagger's in town. Everybody had an uncle who would say that every time.
Or now you could say John Mayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because his lips, he's got giant fish lips.
They're pretty big.
We have to do some news. You're cool to stick around? Because we have people who want to talk about things. Oh, we got to talk about Kiddyland.
They all want to remember. So
yes.
Pete Castanis is here, the creator of Chicago's Extinct Businesses. It's right there on your Facebook. Thanks, Judy. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Along with our guest, Pete Castanis, he's the creator of Chicago's Extinct Businesses. It's right there on the Facebook. It's a yellow pages. I hope I'm saying this right, Pete. Is that what you consider it to be? It's like a Facebook of all the businesses in town that just don't really exist anymore.
That's true.
That's how we say it. Mm. Look at all the people that want to talk to you. Let's go to some of the phone lines. We'll start out with Chuck. Chuck, thanks for... Uh-oh. That didn't work. Chuck? I'm
what
calling Chuck.
What have you
Chuck.
Done?
I'm calling Chuck at
calling
his home. I'm going to ask him a question. Wait, I don't know how to get rid of him.
All right.
There he is. Do we
I
have
don't
him?
Know what you've done.
I don't know what I've done.
Chuck has upchucked and died. Chuck, are you there? Hello? Chuck. Let's try it again.
Put Chuck in your extinct businesses yellow page because he's no longer with us.
All right, hang on a second. Chuck, are you there?
Yes, I am. How
there you are. Hi, Chuck.
Did you hit?
I had a special button made and I pressed that button. It was the wrong one. Chuck, what did you want to talk about with us, with Pete Castanis from Chicago's Extinct Businesses?
I remember as a young kid, it was a treat for us to go maybe once a month to Old Chicago Indoor Amusement Park out in Bolingbrook.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And ride the Chicago Loop.
Yep.
Exactly. And that was my very first upside-down roller coaster. So for me, driving out there now, I just look at it, I'm like, where's all the memories that was there? And it just, I think it was way before its time.
It was before, for people who don't know, it preceded Great America. It was out a couple of years before Great America.
And it was an indoor, all indoor amusement park. At junior high, I was on the patrol, and we all went there for a field trip. All the schools used to go there. It was really cool and convenient, and I'm kind of shocked it went under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Great America is outdoor and way bigger, but also way north.
Sure.
Yeah, they, Old Chicago, they had a lot of food there. You know, you had your variety of choices of of hot dogs, hamburgers.
Did you just go there for lunch, Pete, or did you go there to ride some rides?
Yeah, no. Well, I wish I'd go for lunch.
They did have the first two Wendy's restaurants in the Chicagoland area were at Old Chicago.
They were?
Yeah, first two.
That's where we first had a Frosty?
That's the first place. Yeah.
I remember the first Wendy's. I think it's still there at Fort City. I remember when it first opened.
Yeah.
There. It's still there, of course.
Well, Chuck, thanks for reminiscing with us.
Thank you. But I was also going to mention that ice cream parlor that was in Old Chicago.
What was the name of the ice cream parlor?
I can't remember it.
Was it a Gertie's?
I don't remember it. I was hoping somebody would, but I just remember that ice cream parlor. Just going down there and the old museum and everything that was down there also.
The problem with Old Chicago was there weren't any anchor stores in the shopping area. It was all like boutique stores, mm-hmm. So there wasn't much of a draw to shop there. And that might have been part of it. They also had the world's worst log ride. It was the worst log ride you've ever been on.
Oh, yeah.
It went up about 15, 16 feet, not much of a drop, and that was it. So, yeah, long gone, Chuck, but I can understand you missing it.
All right, thanks a lot for doing a great show. Appreciate it.
That's very nice of you. Thank you. Let's go to John. John wants to throw something in. John, is that you?
Yes, hello.
Hi, what have you got for us, John?
These would be in western suburbs in Merrill's Park. There are two famous restaurants. One was called the Comeback Inn.
I remember that place.
Comeback Inn.
Lake Street.
Yeah.
And the other was Flicker Sam's, which is right behind it.
Was Comeback Inn, could you throw peanut shells on the floor?
Yes, it was like Cody. It was just like being in Alaska.
That's like the ground.
Ground round did that,
the
too.
Same thing. Your finer restaurants always allow you to throw peanut shells on the floor.
One last one, Stein's and
Lyons.
On Ogden Avenue.
I grew up in Brookfield, and we always went to Stein's. They had the best corned beef ever, and the giant kosher pickles. And it's weird because there's not a lot of Jewish people that live in that area, and I can't believe that went under either.
Yeah, that's strange.
It was so good. I totally remember that, John. Good call.
Don't forget Cock Robin.
Cock Robin?
Oh, the best.
It was walking distance to my house, and the square ice cream and the double cheeseburger were fantastic.
That's like with Prince Castles.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for reminiscing, John. We appreciate it. It's so fun to do. I know, I am too. Speaking of Brookfield, this was something that I thought was just in a dream, but maybe not. Eric, what do you remember?
Hi, Wendy. Class of 81 rolls.
Class of 81, yep.
That's right. I remember Fairyland on Harlem Avenue in Lyons.
That's where the
park.
There was. I remember it vaguely. And didn't they build the Zaire there?
It's like 4200 South Harlem, right?
Yeah, I think Fairyland Chevrolet is there now. But I remember Fairyland was. We couldn't make it out to Kittyland. We went to Fairyland.
Fairyland was the cheaper version of it. So we hit Fairyland, too.
And they had that ride where you're on a little track, and you'd sit on a little silver car and pump it and go at your own pace. And it would go in the same tunnel
like
as the train.
Like the hand cart thing?
Like a hand cart, right.
Kittyland had that, too.
Mm. Yeah.
That was fun. I remember Fairyland briefly. And you're right. If you didn't have time to make it all the way out to Kittyland, you would hit Fairyland.
Yeah. A cheaper man's Kittyland.
The poor kids from Brookfield and Lyons had to go to Fairyland.
I know. We were really underprivileged, weren't we, Eric?
Well, we sure were.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks for checking in.
So the class system was alive and well at both Fairyland and Kittyland. Is that what you're telling me? Depending on how much your annual income was, that's what determined which amusement park you went to?
It seems like
all right.
It. You know,
that's
and
fine.
Fairyland... I don't remember it because it didn't last that long.
We went there. I grew up a couple of blocks away from it, and even a few blocks away, we'd only go there a couple times a year.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. I don't remember it being that big or good.
No, not big at all.
Kittyland was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember that.
And did you go before it closed, Pete?
Actually, there was a Kittyland. There was another Kittyland in Justice.
No.
Well, one of them was Adventureland. Adventureland. Is that what that one was?
No, that was somewhere else.
Oh, it was?
But there was a Kittyland in Justice. It was like 79th west of Harlem.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you turn it and it's kind of weird. And there was a big Bozo sign.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And then I went to that one.
Oh, you did?
I went to that one. And that was fun.
It was fun. I missed this. Bonnie, do you have something real quickly before we do some traffic?
Yeah, I can't say I ever went there because he was dead before I was born, but I'm named after the former owner of Barney's Market Club.
Now, where was Barney? Because I've heard people refer to Barney's Market Club, but I think that was before my time. Where was that?
It was owned by Barney Kessel, and it was near Market Street, kind of. And that one of the things that they used to say is, yes, sir, Senator.
Right. Wait, that was Barney's Market? Because I remember that in TV ads where they would always tag with that. Yes, sir, Senator. Is there some story behind that that you know of, Bonnie?
Well, from what I understand, he used to think that everybody was high up there. He wanted to treat everybody like they were a politician and, you know, like a senator, like somebody really important. And he also, I think, that had trouble remembering all the people's names. So he would say, yes, sir, Senator, to everybody. But as I understand it, he had a great reputation in Chicago, and a lot of people, it was a big tourist spot, too, at one time. And I happen to be named after him.
After Barney. Well, thank you, Bonnie. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. So the same way people say pal or champ or friend if they can't remember
or
your
dude.
Name. Yeah, he would just call you Senator.
Hey, I'm going to start
that
doing
that.
That
sounds great.
Hey, Senator.
Hello, Senator. My kind of it's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Pete Castanis is here. He's the creator of Chicago's Extinct Businesses. It's a Facebook page that pays homage to all the great businesses that are no longer with us here in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. If you've been calling and you've not gotten through, don't panic. And Pete, I'm not blaming you for this, but the phone lines have been fried by all the calls we've got. So be patient. We're fixing that. We've got engineers standing by to fix that as soon as we possibly can. Many people have texted in. We were talking about ice cream places earlier that were around Chicago, and they wanted to talk about Farrell's. For people that don't remember Farrell's ice cream, which is long gone, describe your memories of Farrell's ice cream here.
I remember, well, my memory of Farrell's one time when they had a birthday party, they brought out this big cake, big ice cream, and they did a little show, and everyone went crazy.
It looked like the turn of the century when you went in there. It was like
women
that
wore
kind of
bloomers.
Look. Women wore bloomers.
Yeah, they had the zoo, which you tried to tackle the zoo, which was like 50 scoops of ice cream or something.
Yeah, the guys looked like they were in a barbershop quartet.
Yeah,
with the striped shirts. And
one by North Riverside Park, one by Ford City.
It was
there was
Ford City.
Third or fourth one somewhere too, but I can't remember where the other ones were located.
That's the only two I remember.
Yeah.
No one is, I can't find the ice cream shop at Old Chicago. Was it San Francisco Ice Cream Shop? That's what 708 suggests.
Could be.
I know I was finding out some of the rock bands that were there, and our own Bob Surratt was there.
Bob Surratt played there?
He didn't play there, but he hosted a muscular dystrophy thing with Jerry Lewis.
Really?
Isn't this bizarre?
The one I remember, the guy who always played at Old Chicago when I was a kid, was Willie Ames, who was Tommy on Eight Is Enough.
Eight Is Enough,
He also had a rock band, and for some reason, I guess he was extremely accessible. They would book him quite often at Old Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of 70s stars.
Chuck Berry played there, Black Oak, Arkansas, Willie Ames, as you mentioned, the Union Gap, Chuck Berry, Dr. Hook, Commander Cody, Wild Cherry, and the Four Tops.
Yeah. Oh, Wild Cherry.
Brian De Palma became the first person to try to demolish Old Chicago in a film.
Well, there was a movie, I remember Kirk Douglas was in it and Andrew Stevens.
The Fury.
And there was a scene in the movie that they had shot at Old Chicago where Andrew Stevens had telepathic powers and he made telekinetic powers and he made that ride. There were terrorists on the ride and he made it explode and all the cars went off in different directions.
Yeah, I remember the movie trailer.
Very cool.
Our own Bob Surratt, Steve King, and John Records Landecker hosted part of the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon at Old Chicago.
Wow,
they raised a whole $27,000. At the park alone.
At the time.
I guess,
that's
but
not
now.
Bad
they, money.
Yeah, now it would seem a little weak.
A little bit.
But not back then.
Yeah.
What's your favorite one to remember, Pete? What store do you wish would come back?
Oh, what was the best store? Oh, Weebolts.
Weebolts Department Store.
I knew a lot of kids at high school that worked there.
Yeah.
And they loved it. My mother loved that store. She misses it.
Yeah.
They had wonderful things.
Well, there were so many, not just department stores, but the old five and dime stores that used to just be all over
Woolworths.
The place. Woolworths was everywhere. Yeah. Kresge.
Murphy's.
Now, where was Murphy's?
This was Cermak Plaza.
I don't remember McCrory's. McCrory, I remember.
Oh, there was another store where I lived in Roseland. It was called Gately's People Store.
There was one.
Did
also
they sell
in...
people?
No, yes. No. It was a department store.
Oh.
There was one in Tinley Park as well.
There was one in Tinley Park. That store was on it because they had the donut machine there where you would buy donuts and they actually made the donuts in front of you.
Oh,
in a machine?
In the machine, they'd roll them down with the oil, and you saw them actually make them. And everyone remembers that when they lived in that area.
Yep.
I seem to remember that. And why can't we get a donut machine here in the Allstate Showcase Studio?
We would need a donut machine.
We should put that in a museum. With
right. Really?
Right. Do you remember what Toys R Us stores used to be called?
It was Children's Bargain Town.
That's it.
That's one of my Facebook pages. I love that store.
Bargain Town, Bargain Town, Bargain Town. That's what they'd say in the commercials.
They used to advertise on Ray Rainier.
Right, right.
And that store, that was like our own Disneyland back then. I loved
magical.
It.
Magical.
All right, I think we have time for one more call, and this is Jane. Hi, Jane.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can, Jane. Go.
There was a restaurant called the Cuckoo Clock in Joliet. It was a big A-frame building that sold, hamburgers and stuff, and actually a cuckoo would come out at the top.
Just on the hour, Jane, or just whenever it felt like it? When would the cuckoo come out of the clock?
Well, I'm not sure. I was only about 5 or 6, but as I recall, it was on the hour. But I think it's the Walgreens now. It was a Subway for a while, and now it's torn down, and it's a Walgreens.
Oh, that's so sad.
I am so depressed now. I want to go back to being a kid where we had no responsibilities. I had no kids.
Right.
I didn't have to worry about bills. It was so easy then, Jane, wasn't it?
It was, That was a place in high school my sister would go and hang out with her friends, but I was too young.
Well, you're old enough now, Jane.
Do whatever you want now, Jane. There's no more limits. Thank you so much for the call.
Henry's Hot Dogs is on Ogden Avenue. I believe it's in Cicero.
Yeah.
And they have a hot dog. To me, that was the first place that ever put the fries on top of the dog and wrapped it in the wax paper. And right across the street was Paul Bunyan's, who had the giant Paul Bunyan.
I do remember them.
And they moved that Paul Bunyan somewhere because I saw it on a semi going down Ogden Avenue, and it was very scary.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, some big guy. When I was little.
Paul Bunyan.
I'm going to throw one more at you. House of Pies. Do you remember those? House of Pies stores?
They became
Baker's Square.
No, it was Poppin' Fresh.
There was House of Pies. That was a competitor.
Yeah, but
was it a competitor?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Poppin' Fresh.
Right.
I remember when it first opened near where I used to live.
How about Golden Bear restaurants? Those
were
all over.
That was near Fort City.
Yeah, there was one by Fort City.
I don't think there was a Golden Bear near us. I think that was a South Suburbs thing because I don't recall
a
Golden Bear.
You don't remember those at all? They had a weird look, like the building had very small windows. It looked like the building was like sunk into the ground.
Yeah. It
for
was.
Some reason.
Yeah,
I was. Don't know why that would be appealing to anybody. Let's eat there. It's sinking into the ground.
Unless you're 3 feet tall.
Right, I know. Right. They did a lot of business with circus folk who were in the area.
These are the things that I bet if they were here today, they'd go under because we wouldn't go to them. But it just brings back memories. Like Golden Bear, as you said, why would you want to go there?
I don't know.
I bet the food wasn't even that great.
It was all right. Just
but
average.
To go back and just think of what you did. We shopped at Corvettes. We were talking about this off the air. I bought records there.
Mm-hmm.
The 45s?
And albums. They had albums back then, too, Bill.
Wonderful store.
They had a bunch of, you probably remember these, they were called Peter Pan Records. It was the kids' records, the kids' 45s.
Yes.
And they would tell stories.
I bought one.
Tom Thumb or...
And the actual record, they were yellow or red.
Mm-hmm. Bright colors, yeah.
I want to be a kid again, Bill.
Pete, this has been fun. Yeah. We're thrilled that you were here. The page is called Chicago's Extinct Businesses. It's right there on Facebook, and its creator, Pete Castanis, has been our guest. Thanks very much for stopping in.
Oh, you're welcome. I had a wonderful time.
Excellent.
Thank you. And he has 20 more pages that he keeps afloat, too. So go ahead and search Chicago Extinct Businesses on Google. And there's a DNAinfo.com article that lists every single one of your websites. You better get back to work because you have all these Facebook pages to keep going.
Yes, ma'am.
Work hard, Pete.
All right. We'll be back with Judy's News in just a second here on 720 WGN.